In the studio with us now, Dr. Allison Schussler is here. She's a Geisinger pediatrician. You can find her once in a while at the Shamokin Geisinger facility in Sealands Grove. We'd find you there as well. Okay, so she goes around to a couple places, taking good care of the kiddos around here. And we're going to talk about getting a healthy start to the school year. So welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I really appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much. This is an early start in our studios, but we appreciate it. Let's start out with a checkup. I guess we used to call them wellness checks when the kids were super small. Is a checkup kind of a sound idea for kids before they go back to school?
We like to see all of our kids at least once a year once they reach school age. And, you know, we like to see these kids so we can get a sense of everything that's going on with them health-wise, not only their physical health, but their emotional health, and, you know, making sure that they're ready for the school year.
And what are you likely to discover in a checkup? Or not likely to, what are you looking out for, and what might you discover?
So we look for things as simple as their growth parameters, making sure they're gaining weight and gaining height as they should be. We're making sure that they haven't had any major recent illnesses, injuries, trips to the emergency room, things like that. Making sure that they're in good physical health, that they're getting good sleep, and that they're emotionally and mentally ready to go back to school.
All right, so you're going to talk to the kids, or not talk to them, but at least take blood pressures, and you're going to, you could potentially find a higher blood pressure, one that you might not be comfortable with, or?
Certainly. High blood pressures are not terribly common in kids, but typically when we find them, you know, that can be a sign of something else going on.
And cholesterol, do you do that too?
We check cholesterol in our adolescent patients, typically once or twice during adolescence is the current recommendation.
Do kids get high cholesterol?
Certainly.
Okay.
We're unfortunately seeing more things like high cholesterol as, you know, we're seeing more and more kids that may be overweight.
Okay, so you'll see kids that would have to cut down on certain foods would be ideal, plus maybe some medicine is appropriate under those circumstances?
It can be. We really try to stick to managing that things like high blood pressure and high cholesterol with a good diet and plenty of exercise.
Okay, and you mentioned you're seeing some obesity or maybe a little bit more than in the past. What's your message to young people? What do you say?
I really try to put an emphasis on lots of good, healthy food choices. So minimizing processed foods, lots of fruits and veggies. And the biggest thing that I recommend for kids is really limiting the amount of sugar sweetened beverages. So things like juice, fruit punch, iced tea, soda, all of those things are a really big source of empty calories for kids.
Right, and energy drinks start to factor into this for some kids?
We see that, in our older adolescents, and, you know, even the fancy drinks from Starbucks and things like that can have a lot of sugar in them.
All right. Well, yeah, if kids have a couple of available dollars, they're going to enjoy those kind of things just like everybody else does. How much of this consultation all the way through is with parents? They're always present at this time?
I like to have my parents present at least for the beginning of the appointment for all of the ages. They stay for the entire appointment in our younger kids and middle schoolers. Once patients reach adolescence, I like to spend some time with them alone so they can have some private time with the physician to talk about any concerns that they might have that they're not comfortable sharing in front of their parent. And then we, certainly if there's anything that really needs to be addressed, I work with the teenager to talk to their parents about it together.
All right. And teens take advantage of that quiet time with you?
Some do. Some don't really have a whole lot to say, but I like them to know that they get that opportunity and it's available to them if they want it.
And that's critically important. I guess you emphasize that this is that moment now when you can talk to me and that I'll be back here if you need me other times too.
Absolutely. And that's important just from a logistical standpoint, those kids in a few years will be going to their doctor's appointments by themselves and need to sort of get used to talking to the doctor without a parent present. But that's also an important part of adolescence, is that beginning to separate from the parent. And, you know, teenagers sometimes have important health concerns that they may not be willing to discuss in front of their parents.
All right. And you mentioned, you seem to emphasize all the way through this, our conversation, socially and emotionally ready, interested, healthy to go back to school.
Absolutely.
What are the kind of questions can be asked to determine that, and what kind of findings do you get?
So I like to, sometimes it's tougher in the summer, but I like to find out how the kids are doing in school, if they struggle at all with their grades or getting their homework done, if they have trouble with attention and focus. And then, you know, I like to make sure that they're not having trouble sleeping, that their mood is good. We do a depression screening on all of our adolescents as well. But certainly if the parents have concerns about younger children, we discuss those as well. And, you know, trying to make sure that bullying isn't an issue, which is sometimes difficult to sort out, because sometimes kids don't really want to talk about that stuff with their pediatrician.
A depression screening would be a Q&A that elicits answers that would indicate that?
Yep.
And what about some folks who say, well, these are tense times we live in. You know, we have a lot of, I mean, terrorism might be a factor. Racism kind of gets brought up in the daily local news. Do you ever talk to kids about that, this idea that there's troubling issues that exist in our world today and they're growing up into that world?
I wouldn't say that I talk to them about it with that type of specificity, but, you know, we talk about, you know, what's normal worrying and what's not normal. And, you know, if they're stressed or worried about things and it's impacting their ability to have fun and do the things that they enjoy, we, you know, we look at, you know, getting them some help with those things.
All right. And I guess anxiety would be one thing that I would call it. Some kids are super eager to back to school. My daughter was always loved school, and just, you know, the summer was such an irritation. But then when she got back to school, she's happy. That you talked about the sort of the age brackets where kids are anxious to go back to school with, what I think you said, what, 5 to 7 is like the peak period where they want to get back.
Yeah, I think that early grade school age is, for most kids, when school is the most fun. And they, especially the kids that are getting ready to go off to kindergarten for the first time, or go back to first or second grade, and they really, they enjoy school. It's fun, before, you know, they really start getting into the thick of middle school and high school, when the expectations are higher and the, you know, it may not be quite as much fun for them.
All right. And is there a point when excitement becomes a little too anxious? There's, you know, you sort of, is there a sort of a screening for that, you know, when maybe they're a little, I don't know, maybe trouble sleeping or something? I can't imagine how it would manifest itself.
Certainly. We do see anxiety in grade school, all the way up through, you know, adolescence. And it, a lot of trouble sleeping is a big symptom. So they have trouble falling asleep because they're worrying or stressed about things. Or they, you know, anxiety can manifest as headaches and belly pain and, you know, just general not feeling well. And sometimes it can be difficult for the parents to sort of sort that thing out. And that's what we're here for.
Right. And you can help with that.
And those, you know, if they're worried that their child's more worried or anxious than they should be, we try to work on that stuff.
And sleep. How much sleep? Well, let's go back to that three. Well, let's skip school. Let's go to 3-year-old. How much sleep is appropriate for like a 3-year-old?
Your preschool age should get anywhere between 10 to 13 hours of sleep per 24-hour period, and that does include naps. So, you know, if they're taking one or two naps per day, they still should be getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep overnight.
Okay, now let's go up to a schooler. Kids start at age 5 is the universal age for school, right? So let's say 5 to 10, although that seems like a terribly wide range there.
That age group, we're looking more like 9 to 12 hours. So not significantly less than your preschoolers.
Okay, so a little bit less. And then above 10, preteen?
Preteen to teenagers should be getting anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of sleep. So still a little bit more than that 8 hours a night we classically think of for adults.
So a teenager who sleeps 10 to 12 hours on a rare Saturday, that's perfectly okay?
That's perfectly okay. But what I like to encourage my patients to do is to have a really good sleep schedule. So we go to sleep at the same time every night and get up the same time every morning. And that's even on weekends, or else Sunday night comes around and then you have trouble falling back asleep to be ready for Monday morning.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about sleep when we come back. We have to take a break from this particular segment. But fascinating answers. I'm learning a lot here. Dr. Allison Schuessler is here, a Geisinger pediatrician. We're trying to get kids off to a healthy school start. So we appreciate you coming in. We're coming back at 7:40 or so. We have to thank Joe Stender at Geisinger. He gets producer credits for making sure that we met a good doc to talk to. So we appreciate that. He brought Peyton, who is an intern, probably a college student. So we're going to maybe we'll find out a little bit where she's studying and so on. But that's our cast this morning. So we will be back with more questions. I haven't even asked about vaccinations yet. So, yeah, the doctor smiles. Yeah, that's coming up. So we're going to do the vaccination conversation, which has been a hot topic lately. In the studio with us now, Dr. Allison Schuessler is here. If you go to the Geisinger Susquehanna University Clinic, you might have seen there. She has hundreds of patients around here. She's a Geisinger pediatrician. You can see her out in Shamokin, too, so she takes good care of some of the kiddos out in that area. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I do appreciate that. How's your 20-question session going so far? This is your first interview, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, I think it's going okay.
Good. Well, I'm learning a lot. So, all right, we last spoke about sleep and teenagers, this 8 to 10 hours of sleep for teens. Kids will try to get that 10 if they can squeeze it in.
I think that most kids want to get good sleep, but I see a lot of kids with maybe not the greatest sleep habits. So they have their cell phone in bed, or they're scrolling through social media or texting at all hours. And that really doesn't promote good sleep. And then they really struggle with getting enough sleep.
Why is sleep important for any young person?
Well, sleep's important for all of us, but sleep is particularly important for a young and growing brain. It helps with memory. It helps with learning. So these kids who are spending a full day in school and working hard on their homework, but if they're not getting good sleep at night, they may still be struggling in school and with their activities.
So what happens if you get bad sleep as a teen? You're not, you know, you're keeping the cell phone handy. You're making sure the Instagram is monitored and the texts are answered or responded to. Some of these things suffer a
mm-hmm,
little bit, you
absolutely.
Mentioned. Can I make them up later? Is there a resiliency, or is that lost time? That's it. You'll never get that back.
I mean, the younger you are, the more resilient you are for a lot of things. But good sleep habits and good sleep hygiene are, you know, lifetime skills. And if we're not getting good sleep when we're young, you're going to have more trouble getting good sleep when you're older.
I know we had a good sleep doctor from Geisinger here about a year ago, and she mentioned this idea of turning off all screens, that phones are silent, TVs are off, lights are down, and darkness.
Absolutely. And I tell all of my patients that screen time at bedtime does not promote good sleep. And a lot of people think that they need a TV or something to help them fall asleep. But all of those devices emit light that basically tells our brain that it's daytime and should be awake. So that then you have trouble falling asleep. And that's the very first thing I recommend for kids who are having trouble falling or staying asleep is completely eliminating screens from the bedroom and even trying to eliminate screen time prior to bed.
All right, so a bright alarm clock, put a cloth over that or something, dim
Certainly.
That down, night lights, some things have a pilot light. I think your phone, if it's charging, probably has a small light that's
yep,
emitted. Yeah,
turn it over. TV, you know, TV out of the bedroom, all of that stuff.
Really, sleep in the dark. Okay. And we talk about sleep deficits for adults. I don't recall talking to them about kids, but do kids develop a sleep deficit too, this idea that they are behind on sleep and just can't catch up?
They certainly can. And the older kids, you see that coming into play when they've got sports and activities and work and schoolwork, and then they're not getting to bed on time, and then we're asking them to get up very early in the morning, and a lot of people try to make up that time on the weekends, but then you have trouble falling asleep again come Monday.
Should school start at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
I think there's a lot of data out there that would support a later start time for some of the older kids. But I think we would probably get into, you know, some logistical difficulties with families getting their kids off to school and getting to work and all of those things. So I'm not sure that'll ever.
Kids in the school day going in shifts. I see parents cringing out there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hard enough when they all have to be there at 8 o'clock. All right, well, let's morph back into what we had touched on earlier. You mentioned the phone and social media and the texting, and I said Instagram. This peer pressure that teens face today, let's talk about that. That's got to be stressful.
That's a common source of stress for kids, is this performance that I think a lot of them feel the need to do and to have, you know, their social media happening and, you know, things being broadcast to their peers the way that things didn't used to be. So I think that feeling of being in the spotlight, which is somewhat normal for adolescents, is to feel that everybody's paying attention to you, gets magnified when, you know, things can get published and sent out to the internet for anybody that wants to read them.
So what do you say to teens?
I think the important thing is that parents stay involved in their children's social media use, so they're aware of what they're posting and who they're talking to. And, you know, I remind kids that the stuff that ends up online is there forever. And once it's out there on the internet, you lose control over it. So to be careful and to think about the things that they're posting online.
All right. And any other advice as it relates to peer pressure or self-esteem comes into play?
I think it's the best thing is to be, you know, for parents to be aware of the kids that their children are hanging out with, to meet their friends, to know who these kids are. And if it seems like there's a problem, to, you know, to talk to your child and find out what's going on and be proactive about making sure that everybody's, you know, happy and healthy and kind.
All right. So I guess there's a wide range of parent protocols for teens that would be different. So that's you'd have to bone up on all of those and get to know those. Vaccinations. Let's go all the way back. Now we're going to go back to 5-year-olds. We went up to 18. Now we're going backwards. Vaccinations. We had a big conversation about this earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They've become a little bit of a hot topic with the measles outbreaks that we've been seeing. It's important that kids get vaccinated. The state of Pennsylvania has pretty stringent vaccine requirements for certain age groups. And your pediatrician can talk to you about that and make sure your child's up to date.
All right. And if folks have concerns about that, are there legitimate reasons a parent would not get their child vaccinated?
The most common reason that we see that parents choose not to vaccinate is what we call a personal exemption, and that they don't believe in vaccinations or don't choose to vaccinate. Some people would cite a religious reason not for not to vaccinate, but most major religions do advocate for vaccination. So from a medical perspective, unless your child has a medical contraindication to not being vaccinated, we recommend all children receive all regularly scheduled vaccines.
That's your recommendation. All kids, that's the end of the story.
Yep.
Just, even you know, you may have some concerns or so on. Parents may be concerned that there might be some harm from vaccines, but we don't have anything to support that.
Vaccines are one of the safest things that we do in medicine. And we have done, we study them rigorously. And the risk of harm is much, much smaller than just about anything else we do in medicine. One of the common concerns is this idea that vaccines may be linked to autism, and we've never been able to prove that that is the case. And we've done study after study after study, and they've all supported that vaccines are not the cause of autism.
Right. Well, I remember 10 years ago, that was a hot topic, but everybody kept tamping that down at that time. So, but that, of course, once you sort of plant that little seed, it never goes away. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you have an open mic. Let's talk to parents. Now we're doing a healthy start to the school year interview here. We have a minute left. So an additional comment, anything else to tell parents?
I think the most important thing to get your kids ready for school is starting a good sleep schedule early, making sure they're getting good, healthy, nutritious choices at lunch and breakfast. So if you're packing their lunch, you want something that's got some protein and healthy fats in it that can keep them full and keep their brain fueled. You know, and really paying attention to your child and making sure that, you know, school is going okay and that they're getting their homework done and that they're happy and healthy. And if they are struggling with any of those things, that's what your pediatrician is there for.
All right, yeah. I guess maybe I'm drawing a blank on it, but I wouldn't think of my pediatrician as advice related to these teens or social media or sleep, but you're the go-to, honestly.
I would rather a parent come ask us the questions than try to find answers on the internet that may not be so reliable.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no. There goes all my research. Dr. Alison Schuessler, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Please come back and visit us. We'll do more of these interviews and topics that are near and dear to your heart. We'll explore those still farther, too.
All right.
And dig into those. Thank
Sounds
you so
good.
Much. Dr. Alison Schuessler, a Geisinger pediatrician, works primarily at a Geisinger Susquehanna University facility, but also you can find her in Shamokin occasionally, and you can look her up at geisinger.edu. A pediatrician, a healthy start to the school year.